Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming science, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to broadcasting the sciences of life and the sciences of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you are being able to extract the very best the current 21st century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel's Brain Balancing Program and more with your host, physician and surgeon, microbiologist, preventive medicine and hygiene physician, and Surgeon General, Dr. Jewel Pooler.
Welcome, 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 and I'm glad to be back to stay on the Jewel Network. We're talking about
Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming science, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to broadcasting the sciences of life and the sciences of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you are being able to extract the very best the current 21st century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel's Brain Balancing Program and more with your host, physician and surgeon, microbiologist, preventive medicine and hygiene physician, and Surgeon General, Dr. Jewel Pooler.
And we have, I'm here right now, Georgia, and so it's definitely been homegrown here. It's just an incredible service to accentuate and expand the concept of humanity, period, but especially knowing people starting with incredible taking power, what I call, because I'm quite concerned about how many of us are still knocking ourselves out with stuck at home because they're not taking responsibility for being accountable with the side effects of this pharmaceutical medication that we're taking for many of the chronic diseases that we appear to hold on to. So I'm going to let my sponsor say hello to you, and then we're going to come back and we're going to finish up with the sucker punch. And this is a free pamphlet. So we are expecting trillions of emails from you to be able to get this. It's been so nice. If you have a high blood pressure, you've got to get this information. So you can email us at support@thejewelnetwork.com to get your sucker punch pamphlet. Don't ignore this opportunity and curl up in the sun. It's wonderful springtime now. And absorb this information so that you can, first of all, reactivate your mind while you're needing to get in the sun and to get control over facts and make some serious decisions as to whether you're going to continue to take this chronic binding and inhibiting your immune function. Be right back.
You are listening to the Jewel Network Science Radio Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network provides the neural nutrition and stimulates expansion and evolution of the human brain, nervous system, and body. Remember, our source is a neuron.
Yeah, that's so important. So, Dr. Moore, before we continue to talk about the H2 inhibitors and this lisinopril, which seems to have a notorious reputation here. I'm looking at the list of videos that are on YouTube that really tell us how dangerous lisinopril is, lisinopril is, for you to have high blood pressure. I'm really wondering what is the standard diagnosis conventional medicine is using to decide if a person has high blood pressure or not, because disorders that they are labeling are not really consistent with the standard of how the physiological body of certain ethnic groups functions. And so I was just really clear about this, but not until we come together as a group, a study group, who and who's making the diagnosis. So the ACE inhibitors that you really discussed so thoroughly in your Sucker Punch pamphlet, do you have anything that you want to share with us about this? Because in your book, and we're going to spend most of the show here on this wonderful treatise and discussion on pigment power that also reiterated this in your chapter 12 of power, and the defense systems work in the melanated body, and this seems to be one of the main drugs that clogs up the works, as they would say. What do you say, Doc?
Yeah. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can. Thank you. Welcome
right.
him, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you for the invite back to the discuss and continue this very important discussion on our health, because there are ethno-specific drugs that are out there, and the reality is that not all drugs work for all people. If we know
exactly.
genetically people are different on a genetic level, then how do you expect, or how does Western medicine expect every drug to affect everybody the same? Well, it's all about making money, so they ain't worried about that question. So that's why you don't find out that there's a problem until you start having side effects. You think about drugs in the past, like Vioxx, V-I-O-X-X, I think it was used for arthritis. So
mm-hmm.
Merck Sharp and Dohme had this drug out. It was causing people to have strokes. They took it off the market years later, but it was causing people to have strokes. So these pharmaceutical companies are just trying to make money off these medications. So when these ACE inhibitors, which have been, wow, supportive and helpful for some people who have blood pressure issues, you know, that we have all these problems with our diet now and people not exercising and all the other issues dealing with stress, and so it then impacts the body. And the first choice that most medical doctors are going to say is, hey, take this medication.
Mm-hmm.
Not ask you about your lifestyle. Not ask you about what you eat. Not ask you about how's your job. No. Here, try this medication first. And so the more successful ones have been these ACE2 inhibitors, because this hormone in your body called angiotensin 2 is actually a potent vasoconstrictor. So it affects blood pressure. So, okay, if it affects blood pressure, that's now create, that is, pharmaceutical agents. They want to create drugs that can now affect this system to now lower blood pressure. So you're now giving a blocker so that this chemical does not then cause the blood pressure rise. Okay, sounds nice. But they don't work well for black people, but a lot of black people are on these ACE2 inhibitors. Our point about making this statement, beyond knowing that there are side effects that affect people differently, the fact that this coronavirus uses that mechanism to get into your cells. These ACE, this hormone, angiotensin 2, is everywhere. These receptors are everywhere. And that's why there's such varied effects that people have from this coronavirus. Smelling problems, the brain fog, lung issues, the heart's not working right. All that is impacted. Why? Because those ACE2 receptors are everywhere. So this angiotensin that stimulates your adrenal glands, that helps out with food retention, stimulates your kidneys, helps out with food retention, deals with your heart, stimulates the muscles. And so people who are on this medication and also who have had coronavirus and also taken the vaccine, what happens? They have heart issues. It's tearing the heart up. Angiotensin is the brain to help out with the sympathetic flow to cause and stimulation. So you put the inhibitor, so it's not a lot of, I guess, excitement or energy being pushed in the brain. But what chances on the other side of these people who are having these medications? Strokes.
Mm-hmm.
The blood vessels. It's also infecting the blood vessels. So the point is, even your nose, most of the receptors that you see in the nasal passage, highly concentrated with these receptors. That's why people end up having those smelling problems. It may subside after a while, but it sticks around for a long time. The point is, the same medications that are supposedly used to help you out with your blood pressure, that's the same mechanism via this coronavirus getting into your system. That's why people who are on those medications, you got to be careful. I mean, certainly go see a medical doctor for some assistance to say what to do, but I know I had a relative who was on it. I asked the relative to go tell the doctor to change it. All they did was give him another drug, another ACE and 2 inhibitors, another drug. Oh, my goodness. People are so, I don't want to just say ignorant, but unaware that those medications are problematic.
Yes. And the word is appropriate when you basically stress what the word ignore rant really is implying, that these are individuals who are not paying attention. They are not paying attention. They are overlooking the obvious, in denial of the symptoms, et cetera, and have not investigated what they're putting into their body. It doesn't even make sense when you think about it here. Lisinopril is used to treat hypertension, and why is hypertension allegedly so serious? And that's because it can cause the brain, as well as, you know, you can wind up with definitely a stroke, like turns around. It creates the same problem. And these are things that have been written about and are able to be explained. And now, since this seems to set up a diastasis for viral replication here, especially the COVID virus, it's like a real sucker punch. You know, the more I think about and look at this, especially the aged individuals are setting ourselves up with the constant ingestion of these drugs. No wonder we had such a high fatal rate of death in the so-called senior citizens, because most of them were taking these drugs for long periods of time.
Yep, in other countries too, same scenario. That's why Italy, Spain, those are all older generations of people on medications, and that's why they succumb so fast and so hard.
Yeah.
You look in America with those senior citizen homes, yeah, there's people all on medications. Meds is what the game is. Put them on meds. And that's what a sucker punch is. You said earlier about rolling with the punches. Now, we don't want to roll with the punches no more. We want to defend ourselves. There ain't no punches.
Yeah, exactly. This is really amazing. Can you talk about, you have here, you talk about they're actually in the ring fighting here for our life here.
Mm-hmm.
So the military-funded vaccine research, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's those people who are getting vaccines now, we go to a site, Federal Emergency Management Agency, military, they're running these operations for you to get vaccinated. Does that mean the military does not have an impact? Oh, it has a great impact. It's like this is the greatest mission for them to now put their services in order for people to be in line and keep things all in order to get this vaccine. So the military then is involved in this. And so you got DARPA, you got the opportunities to work along with the National Institutes of Health. DARPA stands for Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. You got the collaboration between the government and the military to create these vaccines, and they've been doing this for years. Not like they just came up with coronavirus 2019, now we got these vaccines. No, this technology has been patented. The virus has been patented. How do you patent a virus? How do you patent a vaccine before they even come out? This is a game, playing with people's lives. So the danger part is what actually is in some of the injections, because on a nanoparticle scale of development, nano means billionth of a meter. on a nanoparticle scale of measurement, you can put things in the body and register it later. It's like using some kind of mechanism to now test whether or not the person has a disease, has this virus, to manipulate the person. And that's why it's just crazy when you see all these mass murders. Are people triggered to do that? Somebody's a button pushed, now you got this person going out doing something like that. And you create the mass hysteria, and now you got all this gun violence, and now people are all worried and fearful, and because that's how the whole coronavirus thing has been put up. You create the fear in people, and now you just got to get the vaccine. Didn't say nothing about asparagus, get the vaccine. Didn't say nothing about eating the beets, get the vaccine. Nothing about the diet, nutrition, and health, just get the vaccine. Now, you get the vaccine, guess what? You can still get the virus. Is that true?
Yes, you can. I'd like to, for you to comment before we go on to your wonderful book here, Pigment Power, but you also mentioned on page 19 of the Sucker Punch pamphlet, please email us at support@thejewelnetwork.com to get your free copy emailed to you. It's very important. You want to have this. You have no reason at all not to have this information. You don't even have to worry about this. You mail, et cetera. We will email it to you so that you can have it and take your time and read it. Now, on page 19, you talk about the mRNA. Now, this was a big issue initially about the problem with this virus because, vaccine, that normally we do not take messenger RNA and give it to another person. Where does it come from? Okay. What is the message that it's carrying? What message is it going to activate in the recipient DNA structure or insert one's concern, because this mRNA has been researched to be a trail to give guidance to robots, nano robots, 1/10 of a billionth of a meter sized little robot that can actually follow the instructions on this mRNA if it's programmed to do so, and actually make sure that this is integrated into the DNA of the individual or not. What do you say?
Yeah. So the thing is, Cuba has a vaccine. Russia has a vaccine. The Russian vaccine is the adenovirus vector vaccine. These mRNA virus by Moderna and Pfizer are mRNA, so different technology. Point I'm making is, if someone is dying, shouldn't we just, the whole world is globally impacted by this, shouldn't we just try to find the best one versus saying just use this one? Well, they're just using this one, Moderna, Pfizer, United States, because it's about making money. So this mRNA situation, what people don't really understand, that if you have your house being built, you're hiring a contractor to build your house, right?
Correct.
So the mRNA is like the contractor. If you're coming in to build a house, contractor might say, you know what, start doing this. I want to make a deck here. I want to make another deck. I want to make a deck on your roof. You know what? No, I didn't say that. So that's what's going to happen with this mRNA. That's why people are concerned about the horrendous possibilities of more problems happening later on rather than this mRNA mechanism to help out with the spike protein. That's what it's for. So make the body think the spike protein is bad and create something to fight it, and now you what so-called quell the virus. The point is that this contractor might go rogue later on because you mess with the person's DNA. Now you got more problems in the body than you expect.
So do you have any comments on the constant discussion of nanorobots and this vaccination? They seem to always meet in the same sentences.
Yeah. Well, I hate to really say that everybody who's got injected has gotten a nanoparticle in there and is part of this mechanism to control you, but we just know that there is data out there where they can inject these, like, almost tech lens-like mechanisms in your body. And if you think about using some kind of radar or 5G technology and just now labeling it on the body or putting that on your body, and now you can recognize what's in a person's body because they got technology in them. If you read the labels on that, I haven't seen because I have not gotten injected. If you look at the labels, it says it's technology.
Mm-hmm.
Say some medical implication. It's technology putting in your system.
Yes.
People complain about this 5G technology and what's going on. I think that that's probably an easy way that now you can trigger things. And I hate to say it, does that mean people die quicker? You turn something on, does it mean people now get more sick?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You and I right now are on this phone call, and it's not a Zoom message, but that Zoom and that technology on the computer, that's radiation that's constantly being emitted. That radiation, you can measure that around your computer. That's constant energy. I mean, I feel like I have a headache sometimes when I'm on a Zoom call, after the Zoom call.
Well, I agree with you. If you all hear me in the background, I'm like, mm-hmm, yes, okay. Continue on, Minister Moore, Reverend Moore, okay, because
yeah.
They need to understand the serious issues that we're dealing with. And, you know, I'm very concerned about the fact that people are protected from so much radiation, not just visual light, but even the broader spectrums of light that people who are melanin sensitive handle poorly, that we're even at a bigger challenge now, which I find is interesting, because if people who are melanated cannot handle 5G comfortably, then can you imagine what's happening with the individuals who have very little melanin, what is mm-hmm. really going on with them? But that's another subject that I think is, you know, more so in your pigment power book,
yeah.
We can talk about. But definitely, please, write us, support at thejewelnetwork.com to get your free sucker punch manual, well written, simple. It breaks it all down. You can see what states order more the medications here that are really a problem for you than others. It's really an issue here what Georgia prefers to prescribe and how much they prescribe for the H2 inhibitors. Amazing. The data here that's available. If you want to be aware of that, you've got your parents and grandparents, et cetera, you want to look and see what they're taking, okay, because it's very significant now that we have to be very astute and accountable for looking at why we're taking this and what else we can do naturally to help ourselves. Concerned that it even appears in human neighborhoods that we almost have a supermarket desert, okay, where we really don't have the venues that are really providing for us the freshest fruits and vegetables that don't have a lot of people's chemicals on them, and you don't know where they've come from, how many thousands of miles away they may have come to wind up here in your floor. When you have actual local vendors, we still have farmers, we have inner city gardens, et cetera, where we can be accountable for what that plant has absorbed. So this is very important for us to really start coming back home, Mother Earth, and what she's always provided for. Further ado, Dr. Moore, pigment power. First of all, tell us why you decided to just write this jam-packed book full of information on the melanin biopolymer. Just what motivated you? You've been writing many, many books over the years, and why this one?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for asking. Yes, I wrote The Science of Melanin in 1995. I wrote Dark Matter, Dark Secrets, 2002, revised Science of Melanin. So now I also wrote a book called Why Darkness Matters and contributed one of the major articles in there with Bruce Bynum, Ann Brown, and Brother Richard King. May his soul rest in peace. Wrote that dealing with the issue of neuromelanin in the brain. Pigment power comes along. I'm not just dealing with just the actual science of the pigment, but I'm dealing with social issues. I mean, we got so many problems since Obama was elected. Trump was elected because of the backlash of this pigmented so-called president. I didn't say African American, just a pigmented president. So the world had a problem with that. So I deal with the social implications of blackness. I deal with the whole issue of sun consciousness.
Why don't we just stop right there? The social implications. Now, most of us think about, you know, whether we can sit at the lunch counter or not, and all that was handled really in the 70s, et cetera. But it's much deeper than that. Tell us what you discovered about this. But so why is it such a social problem? Why is it such a social problem?
Terrible. Why you got people in the islands, on the continent of Africa, I guess a few here in the Americas, in India, trying to lighten their skin.
Right.
Using dangerous chemicals to do it. That means you are destroying your cellular components to look light, to look like who? Someone who's trying to be dark and look like you, trying to get what light be like them. So this whole issue of the skin lightening creams becomes a very serious problem in our community. So when you say the social implications, we're dealing with the reality of why are you trying to be white in the first place? Why are you trying to think like that? So those are mental problems that are existing in many of our cultures, and now we need to have an educational system that people appreciate themselves and appreciate their melanin and understand that there's a science behind why you are dark in color. There's a science behind why there is pigment on the planet. There is no white plants. There's no white leaves. Chlorophyll is the pigment that serves the principle for why that entity even exists. So the same thing with our bodies. So the social implications that deal with that reality of, again, us wanting to appreciate the importance of blackness rather than running from it. That's why that's the emphasis there. So when we talk about just us understanding of the environment, some people don't want to be in the sun. They don't want to get dark. People running from being black. It's like, what? The sun is the generator of all life. So one of my chapters is called Sun Conscious. You know, I stayed out in the sun today and had a beautiful time while the sky is shining. The sky is blue and the sun is shining, and you look up and you see those gosh darn chemtrails.
Well, you're a neurophysiologist, and so therefore, tell us a little bit about sun consciousness and how the energy that we are receiving from the sun really affects our capacity to think. Most people don't really see the correlation.
Well, the powerful thing is that the brain is just like the skin, or the skin is just like the brain. Meaning that some of the same chemicals that are produced in the brain are produced in the skin. The skin is your conduit, keeping you connected to the environment that is outside. So when the sun penetrates your skin, it helps to produce all the mechanisms that produce this particular hormone called vitamin D. It's not a vitamin, it's a hormone, steroid hormone. It impacts your consciousness, and you know as well as I do, you feel much better on a wet, sunny day than a cloudy day. The whole terminology in the past about you want to be happy, just go on down to Jamaica to be happy. What way the sun is always shining. So the sun has a great impact on how our bodies respond. And if you are now away from the sun, distance from that, socially isolating yourself, is that why we see all these crazy mass murders right now? People just acting bizarre and just driving on one lane trying to pass somebody. Social isolation, being away from the sun, being away from the outdoors, has changed people's consciousness. So sun consciousness deals with the reality of the sun and the environment outside has an impact on your consciousness. And knowing you deal with the skin produces chemicals, and I would like to say, you know, melanin really is a hormone. When you have the sun penetrating your skin, it makes those melanocytes in your skin get darker. That means something's being activated in it. That's the melanin being stimulated, making your skin darker. You know, you got some hormones that relate to that. Melanocyte stimulating hormone, POMC, propionyl melanocortin. You got a whole system in your body that's regulating your pigmentation. The MSA, the chemical you mentioned, guess what? It's a antipyretic agent. Melanocyte stimulating hormone makes your skin dark. That same chemical can lower your heat, like reduce fever. That's what I'm saying, antipyretic. So there's a reason why, I guess, maybe black people may don't get too frustrated and they're stressed out. They can handle that. You got mechanisms to make sure they don't get too frustrated. You got a lot of white folks that like people that deal with heated environments, and they just can't function right when it's too hot. What's going on there mentally?
Well, I think that that's a significant factor, too, that people should be on alert that if one of the symptoms for COVID infestation or infection is an increasingly elevated body temperature, one should really be concerned, because that means that your melanin is not functioning properly, because normally melanin would not allow that to happen. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely correct. So that's why I'm saying that you can't be looking at everybody the same within what treatments. That's
right.
Why that probably more black people or people of African descent, melanin-dominated people being impacted by this, because they're not being treated properly. We already have the injustices of the disparities in health treatment, so you got that compounding problems. But the fact that people don't even pay attention to the differences in ethnic groups, we didn't have a problem with what? Treatment.
Well, you know, I sent you some information just recently, and I shared information with you years ago about the fact that the University of Michigan has already done research to demonstrate that different variants, as the term that they use, one overall human species has variation in it, but there was really no distinct races that they actually concluded in writing. But the language that is used for publicity and for the visitory implantation of ideas that one is definitely different than the other, where the two never meet, is a serious problem. And this gentleman years ago wrote a book where he's gone around the country, gone around the world, and measured all these different people. Some of them, the variation doesn't exist anymore, to substantiate that groups of people were quite different specifically, and that those specifications need to be identified and addressed properly for the person to be able to maintain their health. And the problem that we have right now in Western medicine is that there's only one variant of human that is really recognized as standard. They happen to be melanin recessive. And obviously, because there's been such an increase in melanin dominant or black people going into these phenomena that happens with the blood that we now know is actually a natural inherited protective mechanism for individuals for generations that have lived with their high activity and existence, coexistence with mosquitoes, the anopheles mosquito. And so it was a protective mechanism, the sickling of a red blood cell, against being infected by a normal vector of this mosquito. It was never a disease process. And it was very interesting that because they have a similar capability in their blood, thalassemia discovered that sickle cell was an adaptive change in the blood for thriving as well as thalassemia. It was never really a disease process, but it became adversely symptomatic in the United States when individuals who had this protective capability abandoned their diet. And to this day, they will not admit it, that you having this wonderful quality, you cannot get into what we call acidosis, pure sugar, pure chemicals. You want to you mentioned Skittles, you will produce the capability of your blood cells literally collapsing, not because of a foreign invader, but because you've changed the milieu of your hydrogen-oxygen ratio that now those blood cells cannot sustain themselves because of the poor selection of foods that your body chemistry should maintain. And it's amazing how, without this information circulating throughout our environment, and this is why Dr. Moore's book is so important, that this book needs to be in every household where people have melanin. This is so important, and we have to start being selective. Like, if we can have religious books in our environment, they say that every household should have a Bible, or every hotel should have one. Where there's melanated people, this book, Pigment Power, needs to be in every household so that you can refer to it as to what is from the environment. Because we're having lots of problems here in the world, and especially in the Western world, where there's so much support for medicating yourself, but how does that work with the specific type of chemistry that you have as a melanated person? So
yeah.
in this book, he talks about melanin, its protection in regards to stress and aging. Well, most of us recognize that you can walk like one of 70-year-old heavily melanated individual, and the skin isn't full of wrinkles. It hasn't pulled away from the musculature of the face, et cetera, and envy. And it's commented on in the private circles in melanin-obsessive individuals. However, with the situation with the food chain, okay, depletion in silica, depletion of other minerals, and the melanated person not recognizing the need that they have for adequate minerals in the body because our structure demands it. We have so much more muscle mass. We have so much more disc and bone mass that we need a greater amount of minerals, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, zinc, iron. The list goes on and on. But is that recommended to you? Is that tested to you when you go to the Western doctor? So low. You know, and I'm like, you know, I'm supposed to have 10 times the bone mass. I can look at the structure of my body compared to the average structure of a melanin obsessive woman, and my calcium level is supposed to be the same as hers. It's preposterous. But when you don't know yourself, this is the problem that you settle into, and then you wonder why you have osteoporosis. I can't imagine a melanated person that's walking around in the sun is 10 times the bone mass, and that has been identified, that our bones are much thicker, denser, that you have osteoporosis, and your doctor's not able to tell you that. But when did they basically give him or her the specifics on what they have to be aware of when they are now treating a melanin obsessive physiology, anatomy, structure? And that is not taught in the medical school. And so as far as I'm concerned, just like we had the marches in the 60s, where we decided that there shouldn't be any way that we have restaurants and all these other opportunities in our environment, and we can't participate in them because of the amount of pigment in our skin, well, now it needs to be recognized that the hospitals don't charge me and don't ask for my money when these physicians and nurses have not been taught about the unique qualities in the human race that we call variant. And this is very important. They're doing a lot of damage to people because they don't recognize that this person obviously is not melanin recessive. So why are all of them being measured by a melanin recessive standard when they obviously are very jet black? What is the melanin dominant standard? And with all the blood that's being taken from people, we know that there's a melanin dominant standard. But why isn't it being taught to the doctors and nurses? And this is something that for the 21st century, before we can really trust the American Medical Association, et cetera, which we know has this information, that it's going to have to be taught in the medical school. We cannot continue to put out nurses and doctors that are still using antiquated standards based on only one race variant when they're seeing three or four different type race variants. What about their browns? Is there melanin, not melanin? Okay, so more division and misuse of language, but the real need for the support for melanin in the standard medical environment right now is not real often and recognized. So, again, this book is so important. You know, we look at the Chapter 8, Melanin and Cellular Enhancement. You want to tell us a little bit about that chapter, Dr. Moore?
You said a whole lot there, so now I got to respond to what you said.
Okay.
So the whole issue of the medical industry and people being guided by this allopathic medicine, I mean, people really need to educate themselves. I was in a classroom in 1990s when I heard the white professor tell these future black doctors, don't worry about the pineal gland. Pineal gland doesn't do much. So I was in the class. So I'm saying these are the people who are going to treat me in the future. The white man's telling them, don't worry about that. fast forward to 2021 and I get a medical exam and the white doctors tell me don't worry about vitamin D, telling me this. So people are being trained not to know about the black body, not to understand it. So before I even make a comment on that chapter you asked me to ask, I wanted to flip the script and ask you about this CRISPR technology and how it's being used now for treating people with sickle cell anemia. You know, taking out the genes that cause it, and now you can do a whole transfusion with the blood, and now you fix the person. Do you, how do you feel about that in terms of treating sickle cell anemia?
Well, I don't have a feeling about it. I am taking an intellectual stand on it, that first of all, the whole process of stripping melanin off of DNA is problematic. And the technique that they are using, we don't really even know what type of deformity, what damage is being actually done to the genetic material, because they don't even recognize that removing the melanin causes genetic material to take on a whole different reaction to light.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's like, you know, you're deciding that this gene and this loci on this point in the chromosome is defective, but I disagree, because first of all, until you can find a safer method of removing the melanin off of it, if that's what you need to do, okay, I say that you're damaging so many things, I don't think that you really are capable of learning which genes are really causing the problem. Not from this effect, and I think that we have to move to a much more quantum physical interaction with the protein that is definitely carrying light-coded formation before we can say so. And it's amazing to think that most people think that, you know, their chromosomes and their DNA are, what is it, red, yellow, blue, and some other color. Okay, they don't recognize that there's no such thing as a chromosome or a gene that is not black. Every gene, every chromosome is jet black to protect it so that it doesn't warp, because it doesn't morph when it's exposed to light. The melanin off before you can even see any of the nuclear material, what have you done to it? And that's not even discussed. So I'm saying that, what do we not have? If everybody has melanin, at least at the genetic level, how active or inactive that melanin is, and we can just take a urine specimen or a drop of blood, and we should be able to have some type of numerical quotient that we can assess to have some idea of the activity and the wholesomeness of your melanin, as important as it is in every human being. Regardless of whether you're melanin dominant or melanin recessive, you have melanin. Where is the standard test for that? And nobody even mentions it. They act like it's a bad word. But how can you continue to avoid it going on? That they will not deal with this substance that literally is a miniature sun in the cells, that it's necessary to cover and support your DNA and to stabilize it, and you don't have a basic test for that?
So until I can
see them become more reasonable with that, how can they be certain that they know what they're doing? No.
Yeah. And I only say that because it is like playing God in terms of how the scientists today are manipulating that. And you really can't get that CRISPR technology for the sickle cell until you're at a certain age. So it's not like dealing with children. But there are people who really are experiencing sickle cell, and I can't say how best to treat them, but you just mentioned that diet is the reason that some people really are impacted, because they've eaten garbage diets and messes up the way that the body was structured to fight this malaria with this sickle cell in the first place. It's not the sickle cell is the problem, it's the diet that creates the problem, how the sickle cell can operate. So there's a whole host of problems, but we never focus on the issue of what you're putting in your body.
Right. Well, if you can alkalinize the serum right away, the sickling stops. And I think it's so interesting, because when they go to the hospital, what do they give them? More sugar, D5W. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean,
you
that's
talk
what they
about.
Have. Right. I mean, the person is in pain. They give them more sugar. The pain gets worse. Then they give them, narcotics for the pain. And I'm like, this is so ridiculous. Alkalinity is what is needed when the red blood cells begin to sickle. They don't not sickle in an alkaline environment. But that's not what they provide for them. So these are the things that I'm really concerned about. And, we've just got to really...
Oh, my goodness. People in the hospital, when they get sick and they bring them diet, those meals after they had surgery, give them some beef and jello, give them garbage diets in the hospital. Oh, my goodness. You wonder why people stay sick or die in the hospital.
Well, when I was doing surgery, thank goodness for a short period of time in my extensive medical career, that was one of the things that I would have to basically stand at the foot of the bed and fight the hospital system. Because if I had an individual that I need to do a laparoscopic exam on, et cetera, they already had high blood pressure, I definitely didn't want them to have a pork meal the night before surgery. And would they not do that? They would serve ham and pork chops, and I'm like, are you kidding me? It says right on the chart that the patient has high blood pressure, and this is what you bring them. Okay, so and that's one of the reasons why I found it very stressful in the hospital, because to try to get a patient through the hospital system, you had so many other factors that were reversing or neutralizing the effect that you were trying to create. And they were ignored, Grant. They really were. So it's like, okay, best thing is, you know, not to even get up in this. Because unless you have a sergeant at arms to really supervise everything that comes to that bedside, inadvertently someone is going to bring the inappropriate thing. For example, all GYN surgery is abdominal surgery. And so one of the things you don't want to do is basically of the intestines. That's where the intestines are moving around. And when they go into a paralyzed state where they become inert on the incision, and we talk about pain where your abdomen is all puffed up, full of gas, and you've got sutures in your gut, you can't do anything else, but they can give them some type of narcotic to reduce the sensation of pain. But now why then would you bring to a patient's bedside post-surgery ice cold water? And they do that. Here you're on a surgical ward, and they're sitting slapping ice water next to the bed.
Right.
And I'm like, ice water on any abdominal surgery ward should, you know, nurses aid, making sure that every abdominal wound is going to be under stress. Because she's putting ice water on the bedside. And if you can get a hold of it, your guts are going to definitely go into paralysis, and they're going to fill up with gas, and you're going to have that stress on your abdomen. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense that we have so many contradictions going on here, and there's nobody supervising to make sure that these things do not cause the patient more problems. It's a problem. So... we've got our sponsors waiting in neurologic development. We want our children to be bright and acute and intelligent, but so many mothers do not recognize how their knowledge involves the development of the nervous system from gestation, just from fertilization and forward. So right after this message, can you give some more information about what mothers can do as soon as they know they're pregnant to not interfere and enhance the production of melanin in generating a stabilized nervous system in their fetus? We'll be right back after this message.
Humanity is experiencing a vast variety of disorders, HIV, Zika virus, Ebola, hypertension, meningitis, STD, Alzheimer's, and many others. These disorders are the results of not knowing how to live within and navigate the human body. Most of us have learned how to drive a car, but have yet to learn how to care for and navigate our bodies. Enroll into the Jewel University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living to learn how to navigate and maintain a disease-free body. Visit us at www.juis.education or visit us on Facebook.
Well, if you're just tuning in, oh boy, what a jam-packed show you have missed a lot of, but you can catch up. First of all, if you want to order your T. Owens Moore Exquisite Professor and a Wizard on Melanin and Neurophysiology of Melanin, that's been here with us, and he has given us a wonderful gift on how to be able to protect ourselves, if you're especially ingesting chronic medication for chronic diseases, the Sucker Punch pamphlet. And so you can email us at support@thejewelnet.com your free copy. We're also talking about this book, Power Pigment. Pigment Power. We want to have a copy. And the chapters are incredible about the present state and the importance of us finally recognizing and becoming intelligent and aware of how melanin affects every area in our life, every organ in our body, our brain. It goes on and on and on. And he's written many books that have talked about this specifically, but the pigment power, we have to start recognizing that melanin is the biological manifestation of the sun in the human cell of the body. And the things that it does for the tissues, the organelles in the cell, et cetera, just like the actual overhead sun does. And it makes this connection in electron exchange, et cetera, in the tissues when your body, that melanated energy beating from the focal point in the sky. So Pigment Power is a very important book at this time in the 21st century. You want to basically acquire all the websites that they can go directly and order your book.
www.drtmore.com. That would be drtmore.com.
drtmore.com. Now, the black dot, and Dr. Rich King used to talk about that, is very important for everyone to understand. We all came from a black dot. Body originated from a black dot. What made it black? And that's the very substance that we've been talking about, this biological form of life known as melanin. And you have a whole chapter that's been dedicated to that, chapter number 3. You want to tell us a little bit about it before it's time for us to go? Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's almost time to go. Let me roll real quick, because you wrote a book called Vitamins and Minerals from A to Z, right?
Yes.
Vitamins and minerals, or vitamins, vital amines. You got some vital chemicals that need to be in our body. When people get pregnant, women get pregnant, they emphasize something called folic acid. You got to have that in your system. Folic acid really is vitamin B9. So I like to talk about this thing called train number C6, train T. T is for thiamine. You reverse the letters for the train, riboflavin is vitamin B2. Then you got niacin, vitamin B3. Guess what? There's something called pyridoxal phosphate. That's vitamin B6. Guess what? All these vitamins, you don't have them in your system, your melanin is not going to develop right. People don't have the melanin developing for that zygote that is forming in the body. It's like you get something called spinal bifida and neural tube defects if the melanin is not working right early on. That's why you got to nourish the body right and treat it right as the cells developing in your body.
Okay. Well, everyone, we've got to get studying. We've got to start reading. And first recommendation here for your spring reading, Dr. Moore's Pigment Power. So contact him at his website at Don't Forget the Sucker Punch. Get that at support@thejewelnetwork.com. And Dr. Moore, I want to thank you for
Thank you for listening to the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. Join Dr. Jewel here each Monday at 5 p.m. on the Jewel Network, hosted by thejewelnetwork.com and Jewel University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living, Jewish. For our complete broadcast schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.com. If you'd like to contact us, please send your email to info@thejewelnetwork.net. Thank you. This broadcast is under full copyright and trademark protection owned by the House of Jewels. This broadcast in its entirety, nor any part of this broadcast, can be reproduced, copied, transcribed, placed in podcast format, placed into MP3 format, or suspended on any internet digital location without express permission from the House of Jewels, Washington State, USA. To reproduce or suspend this broadcast in any digital location other than the Jewel Network is prohibited, and legal proceedings will follow accordingly. Thank you for listening.